Roby was an inch over 6 feet and a rock-solid 180 pounds. He possessed a compact musculature that relied more on quickness and endurance than sheer strength. His nose had been broken once due to a mistake he had made. He had never had it reset because he'd never wanted to forget the mistake. One of his back teeth was false. That had come with the broken nose. His hair was naturally dark, and he had a lot of it. But Roby preferred to keep it about a half inch longer than a marine buzz cut. His facial features were sharply defined, but he made them mostly forgettable by almost never making eye contact with anyone. He had tats on one arm and also on his back. One tattoo was of a large tooth from a great white. The other was a red slash that looked like lightning on fire. They effectively covered up old scars that had never healed properly, and each held some significance for him. The damaged skin had proven a challenge for the tattoo artist working on Roby, but the end result had been satisfactory. Roby was 39 years old and would turn 40 the following day. He had not come to Scotland to celebrate this personal milestone. He had come here to work. Of the 365 days in a year, he was working or traveling to do his job on about half of them. Roby surveyed the room. It was small, adequate, unadorned, strategically located. He did not require much. His possessions were few, and his wants fewer still. He rose and went to the window, pressed his face to the cool glass. The sky was gloomy. It was often that way in Scotland. A full day of sun in Edinburgh was routinely greeted with both gratitude and astonishment by his citizens. Far to his left stood Holyrood Palace, the Queen's official residence in Scotland. He could not see it from here. Far to his right was Edinburgh Castle. He could not see that battered old edifice either, but knew exactly where it was. He checked his watch. A full 8 hours to go. Hours later, his internal clock woke him. He left his room and walked up toward Prince's Street. He passed the majestic Balmoral Hotel that anchored the city center. He ordered a light meal and had tap water to drink, ignoring the large selection of stouts offered on the board over the bar. As he ate, he spent some time gazing at a street performer, juggling butcher knives atop a unicycle, while regaling the crowd with funny stories delivered with an embellished Scottish brogue. Then there was the fellow outfitted as the Invisible Man, taking pictures with passers-by for £2 each. After his meal, he walked toward Edinburgh Castle. He could see it in the distance as he ambled along. It was big, imposing, and had never once been taken by force, only stealth. He climbed to the top of the castle, peering over the gloom of the Scottish capital. He ran his hand along cannon that would never fire another shot. He turned to his left and took in the full breadth of the sea that had made Edinburgh such an important port centuries ago, as vessels came and went, disgorging freight and picking up fresh cargo. He stretched tight limbs, felt a creak, and then a pop in his left shoulder. 40. Tomorrow. But first, he had to make it to tomorrow. He checked his watch. 3 hours to go. He left the castle and headed down a side street. He waited out a sudden chilly rain shower under a cafe awning and drank a cup of coffee. Later he passed a sign for the ghost tour of underground Edinburgh, adults only, and only conducted after full darkness had set in. It was almost time. Roby had memorized every step, every turn, every move he would have to make. To live. As he did every time, he had to hope it would be enough. Will Roby did not want to die in Edinburgh. A bit later, he passed a man who nodded at him. It was just a slight dip of the head, nothing more. Then the man was gone, and Roby turned down the doorway the man had vacated. He shut and locked it behind him.